the Lillipup Beat Barheads, Roadshow Lodges in prayer. We have a request on behalf of Brother Lawrence and James, who is suffering with severe headaches as a result of an eye problem. He has just want to encourage you to believe. Prayer changes things. Amen. That we have the promise. Whatsoever we ask, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give it unto us. Blessed be His wonderful name. And know that the price of our healing was already paid. The Holy Spirit is present to minister these blessings unto us as we have need of them. Whatever you need might be tonight, just look unto Him and believe. All gracious Heavenly Father, we stand, Lord, in Thy presence with bowed hearts, thankful, dear God, for another time that we can come into Your great presence. Lord, knowing that it's a great privilege unto us, and especially, dear God, to have the privilege of hearing Your word, to know that You're anointed and sent for a prophet in these last days with a message because of Your love towards Your church, Father. You provided a pillar of fire to vindicate that message. Yet God, knowing that all that we have need of, even to bring us back into the full stature of Jesus Christ, to stand in that very position where we were in before the fall, Lord, Your place in that message. Knowing, dear God, that we have come tonight to hear Your word. You said faith can by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, there's a great desire in our hearts for Your word tonight, Father. Especially, dear God, in these dark hours that we live in. Lord, knowing that You said Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. How we pray that word would come forth tonight to lighten up our lives, Lord. Lord, to shine. Lord, in the way that we are walking, we might see where we are going, Lord. Dear God, knowing the time that we are living in is so uncertain. Such perilous times, Lord. But dear God, know that we have Your word. What a consolation that's given unto us. The very word of God that can lighten our path and bring us back to that perfect day. Lord, we pray tonight that light would shine down into every heart. And the great Holy Spirit would inspire such faith into the hearts of Your believing children, that it would bring us to a greater faith than what we have, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that You would just bless each and every one of us in a special way. There are many needs amongst us, Father. Even this request of our brother Renton and James. Lord, with this eye problem that is becoming worse. And Lord, now bringing on these intense headaches. Lord, but he stands tonight asking for prayer. Lord Jesus, that You would deliver him from this condition. Father, remember Your word, it said, if two shall agree, as upon touching anything, it shall be done. Father, according to His faith, that He believe and made His request, and then we standing here, believers, together in Him, united our faith together, Lord, in prayer. Knowing yet, God, if two shall agree, as upon touching anything, it shall be done. Oh, God, may Your grace come upon Your Son, Lord. Lord God, may the Holy Spirit take over this affliction, Lord. Lord God, may that return our problem. May You strengthen him, Lord. And Lord, may You deliver him from that condition. And may the headache go, Father. And may be made well for the glory of God. May He come for the testimony, Lord, to give You praise and glory for that deliverance, Lord. For Your promise is sure to all the seed. And we pray and we ask this tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord God, for these that remain here, Lord Jesus, they would have a special need also. Whether it's a domestic problem, Lord, a spiritual problem, Lord God, whatever it is, a financial problem, You know, Father, before the foundation of the world, and You have made provision, and You have given us an entrance, You have given us an open channel. Lord God, when we can come and ask, and I pray the Spirit of the living God that is present in this meeting, oh God, who have come to meet with us, who have come, Lord God, to minister these divine blessings of your riches and grace unto us, Father, which so caused them faith to rise. Hallelujah. Lord God, today we can take a hold of your divine promise and believe and nurse faith from the oppressed one, from the El Shaddai. Oh God, may you grant tonight. We pray and we ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear God, as we be so led by the Holy Spirit to come to this book of Daniel, this great apocalypse of the Old Testament, Lord God, this book that has been programmed and been misunderstood down through the years, Lord, it was difficult for theologians to understand it, because it told Daniel to seal up, Lord, until the end time. But Lord, you've sent for a prophet in his last days, and through the ministry of that prophet, you have seen these seven seals open up, Lord. We have heard the something of the vindicated mess of the hour, revealing the entire secret of this Bible. And Father, we have come to sit tonight to study your word. May the Spirit of truth, hallelujah, the great comfort of the Holy Spirit, the divine reveal of the word, Lord, may he open up these things and inspire it to our hearts. Bring to us, Lord, such a clear understanding of the hour in which we are living in, that our hearts might be prepared, that we might be made ready, that we might know how to walk, that we might know, make the right decision, that we might be able to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we might come into oneness with that word, into true union with that word. Oh God, if I become that word in this hour, God, may you grant these things, Father. We pray and we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. For your honor and your glory, we pray. Shall we all sing amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn your Bible. Let's read. I'll send Luke 21 and also Romans 11, Revelation 11. Three places. Luke 21, Romans 11, Revelation 11. Amen. Luke 21, we will begin reading. Last messages here in Jerusalem, he was preaching. We just want to break right in into the message. And as Jesus was preaching here, warning them of national signs and of things that were to come, making prophetic utterances concerning what was spoken before in the Bible because of the soon fulfillment of these things. And verse 20 says, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that its desolation is nigh. And let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them who are in the midst of it depart, and let not them that are in the countries enter into it. For these are the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled." He knew he was speaking from the inspiration of the Bible. That's why I told him all these things which are written may be fulfilled. "But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that nurse children, or give suck, in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people," the Jews, this people, see? "They shall fall by the edge of the sword." Next time we know it's going to be nuclear weapons. "Then shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Romans 11. Verse 25. Is Paul writing now?
Some maybe 30 years or so after Jesus had preached those things. Yes, Paul, the prophet, messenger of the first age, he says, "Why would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." Notice Luke 21 is speaking about the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled, and Romans 11 is speaking about the fullness of the Gentiles becoming. And then Revelation 11. "And there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship in it. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Let us pray one more time. Our gracious God, we know we can read because we went to school, Lord, and we are not illiterate. Lord, to reveal this word and to make it plain. Not just comparing scripture with scripture, Lord, but a mystery requires the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it can't become clear. And not just this outside teacher teaching. But Lord, we know it's going to take the inside teacher also. So I pray that you would anoint me and anoint the people. Lord, you would inspire our hearts. Divine revelation of your word, especially the light of the modern events that we are living in, that might cause the expectation of our hearts to rise and place us positionally where we ought to be, knowing how to look and how to stand in this hour. And we get continue under the divine leadership of the Holy Spirit, which we see is such a necessity, Lord, for each and every one of us as a church and then as individuals. Oh God, may you help us. We pray and we ask these mercies in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless me, Abbas. I want to welcome every one of you in the house of God tonight, and may God bless you. May Him do something special for you tonight, whatever it is you have need of. May He give you the faith to pull from His great inexhaustible fountain that you could really draw from the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we just so close to God and just can't reach out and touch Him. Or sometimes we could be touching Him but just don't know how to pull from Him. Remember one time in the Bible, you know, when Jesus was going to Jairus' house, and that woman with the issue of blood, she came forth and a revelation struck her and she wanted to touch Him. And she came forth and she began to really break through and get a hold of Him and the hem of His garment, and she began to draw with the faith because she came expecting to pull something from Him. And she knew that in Him lay the power for her healing. And she began to draw from Him. And Jesus said, "I felt virtue in me. Somebody touched me." And Peter says, he said, "Lord," he rebuked him and says, he said, "Lord, how do you mean somebody touched you? The whole multitude is thronging upon thee." But that touch was different. So he's not just touching Him, he's not just being close to Him, but it's being able to draw from Him that the need in our hearts to be met. But it takes understanding to realize that in Him lays the power for what we have need of. And it takes even a revelation to know that He is the Word. He and His Word is one. Now that consciousness will bring the attitude that will make all the difference. Because you will not sit there as a service. You will not just sit there and see a man talking about some scriptures in the Bible, but you will be able to break through the veil and what the prophet says, see the mighty conqueror standing there unconquered by traditions and know He's as great as He ever was. It's going to take Him to put your heart and mind in that channel that you can draw from Him. But friends, let me tell you, His word is true. It's impossible for God to lie. If you can recognize Him present, prophet preached God being misunderstood, the unrecognized presence of God, that the people could not recognize
It was God present. But that understanding is given to us from the scripture. It's given to us by a promise. It's given to us from God, who is impossible to lie. The Bible said, where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst. Is that right? And Jesus promised that. The way two or three gathered there in my name, I'll be there. Lo, I'm with you always. And what you bind is bound in heaven, what you loose is loose in heaven. So it's not people taking an authority upon themselves, not people trying to make a claim upon God that they have no right to make, but it's God open up a fountain and draw the people to that fountain. And if you recognize that God in sovereign grace doing that, that here in 1990, you will have a place to put your faith. You don't have to walk in a service and wonder if what this man saying is true. You don't have to walk in a service and wonder if this thing can be right. Amen. You can be pointed to God's word. And if you just believe that God's word is the truth. Now if you never know nothing about God's word, then God will have to show you his word is true. But I believe most all of us here tonight knows that God's word is true. Amen. That God has preserved his word. Not just preserve it, but God has revealed his word. Not just revealed, but God has vindicated his word. Amen. What did God do that for? To show he's God? No, that you can have faith. That is not another man's idea. It is the vindicated word of God. Amen. Because God knows in this day there will be so many things close, so close to the truth, it can deceive and confuse people. Especially they're not taught. So God put the supernatural vindication upon the word of God. Amen. After it was identified, it wasn't just any word, friends. A prophet stood here and went to the Bible and pulled out the prophecies that was in the Bible. When people said these things were not for this day, he challenged them. These things are for today. And he said, God, if that is the truth, vindicate it. And God vindicated it. So you and I coming behind, you have no mind battles. You and I coming behind have already received God, done something for us that we don't have to wonder about. We can say we have found what we are looking for. It's just now we are being taught by God how that we have what we need, but how to make what have been given unto us work for us, that we can benefit and progress, is what God is teaching us. Amen? Amen. But if you have the key to open your door, and you don't know how to use it, don't open that door and go in and take what you want. You don't have nothing. It can be better than have the key to begin with. You can have money and don't know the value of the money you have. Like the woman whose son was away studying medicine in India, sending her all these nice checks and so on. These bank drafts and the beautiful pictures. And she had it in the Bible. Is that right? Amen. And she was dying of malnutrition and starvation and everything else. And she kept trying to make excuses that her son loved her and maybe going to write one of these days and send some money after all. And then when the welfare people came in and investigated, she talked about the beautiful letters and the beautiful pictures. She said, bring it up, let's see. She opened my Bible and in the Bible was laying these bank drafts. She had thousands and thousands of dollars right there, but didn't know what it was. Amen. It was given to her so that she will not be in that condition. In a depressed and frustrated condition, where she had to live on welfare and handouts, where she had to live under privilege. It was given to her for that purpose. But because she didn't recognize what she had, she couldn't help but live in that position. She didn't get more money, she only understood what she had. Amen. And that is what God is doing for us. Amen. And as we are trained with the word, and by the word, we know better how to use the word to appropriate the things that God has already given to us. And friends, let me tell you this. The same love of God that moved God to give us these things is the same love of God that is training us to use these things to benefit from what he has given us. Because the saddest thing would be for God to see what after all he had done, pointed that little group who knows how to take the word and hand it there. You watch them then shut their heavens. They will know how to use the word, that key to the door that the early church had. Yeah.
they'll be able to lock and unlock. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. That's why it's so important for us to grasp the word. That's why when we come in the house of God, we come with sincerity. We come to receive from God. We don't just come to look at one another. We don't just come to meet one another. We don't just try to make friends in a little social circle in the church with one another. No, sir. We have more important interest than that in coming here. When we come here, in more life under than when we go to casualty in the hospital. You know that? When we come here and what we receive is more beneficial than when you walk up and receive your paycheck on Friday. Do you know that?
Yes.
Amen. But let me tell you, do we look at it like that? Do we relate it like that? Does our attitude show that the way we see it?
That could be questioned. Did we get silent right there? Because that could be questioned.
We know that part is right, but then we search ourselves. Now, my attitude, what is it? We realize that we have temporary. That consciousness is only temporary. Unless you don't really have the Holy Ghost in your life, unless you don't have a genuine revelation, you cannot maintain that atmosphere. You'll always have to be pumped back up, wind back up. Amen. Because you'll walk, be so revelant in 2 days, and slide back down as the conditions overtake you that is wrong about you. Sure. When you see men and women walking in that word, brother, who have paid the price on the knees to see that word become a reality. See that word get down in their heart. Who knows that this is that hour? Who has been convinced, who have been prayed to, who have studied that word and see how clear that revelation is. Who have seen God come down and identify those things. There is no more doubt for them. There is no more running back to them. Those whose hearts have been warm and quickened by the pillar of fire, there's no more running back.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, they live daily for these things. They pray daily, Lord, keep me there. They don't wait for prayer meeting. Every day is prayer meeting with them.
Yeah.
They don't wait for man-made programs to kind of, no, sir. Because they already broke too. That's why when they come in the house of God, they bring their pillar of fire with them. They bring their liquor fire. Amen.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Sure.
Because you know, I'm going in there. I got a woman in St. Luke 7 tonight. Hey, man, I'm going there to anoint the word. So the word, that's how they come.
Yeah.
When the woman walk in that feast, she ain't come looking for some little entertainment or attention from somebody. She come to give attention to the word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
She came to anoint the word. She came with a purpose. Amen. Let me tell you, that is the kind of attitude that get the benefit from the word. But the devil is so supple in his ways, so cunning in his devices. Amen. He knows how to paralyze the effects of these things upon us. He knows how to get us busy, how to detour us and distract us. He knows how to do it. And that's why we need to get, you know, to be close observers. That's why we need to study the devices of the enemy. That we will not live disadvantaged, but we will not block the fiery darts with a shield. Amen. And not just live a defensive life only blocking darts, but we will not use the sword of the Spirit and chop our way through and chop that devil with the ribbons.
Amen.
Sure. I don't want to live a defensive life blocking darts all my life. I want to throw some bros to him. Amen. I want to cut my way and bring a clean for a drink. So, let the devil know how it feels to get the word coming from the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe that long time you didn't get them 10,000 volts. Hallelujah. Maybe your cousin, somebody, a little water gun, just put a little water here, put a little water here. It's time to meet the people who have been trained. Amen. Who can tie that devil in a knot. Amen. No fear, anything going to paralyze your faith. You know where to stand with the word.
Brother, that's why. This life is a rugged life. Did not play in church. Did not come along with some little social club or something. Did not try for natural progress and these things alone. Did not come into a place where the word in you is living itself out. The token is an atmosphere of love and power.
Yes.
Amen. This is where man is under expectation. This is where when the word is revealed and identified to you, you believe it. You accept it. It changes your life every time you hear it.
You ain't like some screw gathering nuts.
No, sir. You gather this and you gather that, and you pick up this little thing, and you pick up this light, and pick up this light over here, and you play with your little whims and fancies and your little self private interpretations and these things. No, sir. You are hungering for truth. You don't want man's ideas. You want truth. Amen. Spirit-spoken truth that could change your life, could transform you. Amen. Could put you in a channel where you know what the plan of God is. Amen. Sure. If you're about the Father's business, somebody asks you what you're doing, you can say what you're doing natural. Anything you're doing, somebody says what you're doing. If you're thinking, you can say thinking. If you're relaxing, you can say relax. If you're working, you can say working. If you say why are you doing that work, whatever it is. Well, that's why somebody says, what is God doing? I'm going to fumble around. We wonder what God is doing. Because if God is working in and through us, we must know what God is doing. Amen. Because God is working outside of us. God is working in and through us. She notices he in herself fulfilling his word he left for this time. And that's the secret of the message. That's the Father's business.
Amen.
To fulfill the word. But that's why it's different to a real believer, to a make-believer, to somebody trying to believe. A real believer know that they are the word. A real believer live in the consciousness that they are the manifestation of the word spoken for this hour. They know inside of them lays the anointing. Amen. Inside of them lays the representation, the faith to make this word work. Something moves them, pushes them, compels them to anoint the word, to expect it. Amen. They speak about it and walk into it. Why? From the time it strikes their heart and they see that is God's word for this time. They see the progress of the revelation. They see the unfolding revelation. They keep it in step. Is that right? A true believer always will. Because they can follow the word building up. There is a drama. The prophet calls it a drama. Is there something they can follow? They know the changes of the beat. They know something is happening. Is that right about here? Such and such is to take place. And they look the end. They see it being all acted out. Amen. That is how they tell. The people who are acting it out is in the spirit of the composer. Get that? It's not about the talent. It's not how they close their eyes and they try to do it emotionally. No. If they are doing exactly the time what the sheets on that time is supposed to be doing. Then it shows the symphony's in the right swing. What is the bride supposed to be doing now? According to this word. The Lord himself had descended from heaven a shout. The prophet knew exactly where he was. He said that Matthew 25, lamp trimming time. That's the message gathering the bride together. He said, I'm going to choose a bride. Amen. He knew exactly where he was. He can look at the denominational world and say they're trying to do God a service because they're out of the spirit of the composer. They're obeying a passage. They couldn't see that the beat has changed. Is that right? So, let me tell you that. Let me tell you, friend, you don't have to manufacture faith. You don't have to sound positive. No, sir. Faith is unfolding revelation in your life every day. Amen. You walk in that word. You are that word. Your heart yearns and calls for those things.
Amen.
Some of us want to get there before God brings us there. That's the problem. That's why we have so many wrecks. Some of us think we have shortcuts in getting there. Have no shortcuts in getting there. You got a shortcut from Moses to getting the spoken word from a sword? A natural sword to the spiritual sword? It takes God beat him out for 40 years. Amen. God learned him 6 weaknesses and human weaknesses. Is that right?
Amen.
Sure. See, it's simple like that. Have no shortcuts. Have a plan. Think of Paul having confidence in the flesh. He comes and says, I don't come in and tie him with a man wisdom now. I come in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. You think he just jump from that to that by studying? No, sir. Learn weakness. Glory be to God. Some of us try to bluff ourselves and try to play strong when it's not God's strength.
That don't work.
That's going to pick up feather sticky and a little trial going to blow that thing out. Amen. See, but brother, when you get there and that word, God anchor that word in your heart, the promise of God is real to you then. And when that promise of God becomes real to you, if you are a seed of God and part of that same promise, you cannot turn your back on it. You can't walk away from it. You cannot find comfort or satisfaction in anything else outside of it. and real men and women of God. But they don't go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Somewhere along the line they stop and say, I'm tired of playing church. Tonight I'm finished with that nonsense. I'm going to pay the price. Amen. Hallelujah. Back and forth, back and forth. No, sir. When they see it, they're convinced of it, they become concerned with it. They sell out everything when they find they pull a great price. Amen. Yes, sir. So, brother, when we see the hour and the challenge, you look in the natural realm, you see all the cries and the tensions in the world right now. You see men out there, brother, they only hear about the enemy. They didn't see the enemy yet. But they go the ammunition and what is going to fight if the enemy come with those type of attacks. We have something here. If it's tanks are coming, we have tanks here. If it's planes are coming, we have planes here. If it's ships are coming, we have ships here. Whatever, they go there for fight. See? And those people that get the people on the alert, they don't say, you know, they have a whole enemy out there, aggressive spirits, willing to invade and take over and control. But let me have a good time. You know who did that? Belshazzar. Oh, Belshazzar, because he put his confidence in man's words. Thought that the wall they built was so strong. But you see, once you really know the enemies out there and what the enemy can do, and what the enemy record shows that he did, and where people underestimated the power of the enemy without having the Holy Ghost on the side. Amen. And brother, you see the situation, then you know that you want to be alert. You know when they see the battle coming to get alert? No, sir. Many people have been devastated, lose their lives, didn't stand a ghost of a chance. Because they just dilly-dally, lackadaisical until the time comes and try to pump up like that and play getting ready. No, sir. You think God's in a prophet taking 27 years off the scene? About 25 years of the scene, God took him off after he delivered the message. And that was the training that came to train us. That was the message and the instruction to get us ready. Are we still here? God waiting for us to get trained and get in step. On that greatest battle of the fall, he says, coming. Is that right? He said, you better get the whole arm of God on. Amen. He said, it's going to be a battle raging in your mind. You identify where it was. How it came on for 6,000 years. But it is a full blast because of Satan's Eden and he designed an Eden that make it a better world to sin in. It was cunningly and subtly designed to trap the sons of God. Amen. There's going to be a battle right here. But the word shows that we have overcome by the word of our mouth and the blood of the Lamb. There's going to be a people who are going to have the testimony of Jesus. There's going to be a people who are going to have that word. They're going to know the power of that blood. Amen. We see them singing their victor song. Is that right? Those under the seven trumpet, who are the type of those under the seven seal? When that name was written in their forehead, Revelation 7, when that sealed angel came and sealed them. Is that right? Exactly what's happening to us now. But we see those same people in Revelation 15 singing the song of the Lamb and of Moses. Saying, thou King of Saints, thou God Almighty. Is that right? And they overcame the beast and the mark of the beast and the number of his name and all these things. They overcame it. Amen. Sure. When the whole world had bowed to that beast system, even the whole nation was tied up in it, they still didn't bow down. Why? Because two prophets preached the same message that the prophet and the bride is preaching to us also. Amen! Hallelujah! So, brother, when you look and you see what the effects of the message in the people, because being spoken to bring them to an awareness, it being spoken to prepare them. Amen! It being spoken to bring them to that shed that they ought to be in, to stand and overcome the challenge of this hour. Yeah. Look, and we see it. And in our hearts, we know that that's what we are called for. Yeah. You know, when God saw you in the world and put you in this age, it's all those things that God had in mind, because the promise is to him that overcome it. Amen. They don't know that God, friends, will do great exploits. They will do it. And that's why, you know, it's a tremendous time, because I'm trying to just stay in line and follow and wait upon God and watch and see the handwriting on the wall and see it unfold and unfold and see the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and cover. And over all these years, these things coming. And the Spirit identifying and showing and bringing up them things out of the Bible, out of the mess of the hour, to show how close we are, to point out to us clearly and distinctly, to place them things back in the Scripture, that we can know the time and we can know how to behave and we can know what to expect and how to prepare. And we can see from the Word, but those who fail to prepare, when the warning is given, what can happen upon those people? Amen. Sure, we can see it. So we'll be our excuse, because we look in there, we see the hour. Oh my, I tell you, it's something that pulses in the heart of a believer. As the Scripture says, then that love is appearing, more and more these things coming. The world is seeing more crisis and more crisis, but the believer is seeing the coming of the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, if you have really met Jesus Christ, if he means all to you in your life, if over the years he has been able to win your confidence, and he has been able to win you and make you a love slave and a prisoner, let me tell you, more and more the reverence strike your soul, you keep looking upward. Amen. Your feet almost begin to leave the ground. Why? Because there's something in your heart that you want to see him. Amen. You ever sit down and think about where is to see Jesus? Hear him talk to you and call you? Hear him say, well done? To know that you have lived for this word? What kind of experience did make we like to quote it, but what kind of experience and what kind of feeling, what kind of relationship produced that in the prophet, that after 1.5 million souls could lay on his bed here and say, shake yourself, you ain't looking for the Lord yet. What kind of experience? What depth of love that a man coming to before he can really feel that way? Sometimes we find we have too much service. Sometimes we find service too long. Sometimes we find this, that, and the other. Sometimes we look on our record, we can't even last a witness. We don't even have one soul on our brother we bring to the Lord's self. Amen. Amen. So, I know you're not going to find 1.5 million souls right now in the world to save. Amen. But I know you'll be able to look at yourself and look at what you're doing and say, have I done my best for Jesus? Amen. Have I really given the kind of witness that you have called us to give in this hour? Am I willing to bear the kind of rejection that he expects of us to bear? Am I still so lost in self and ambitions and these things? Amen. That these things mean more to me than to suffer reproach of the word. That I feel embarrassed. I like people to see me humiliated. I like to see people rejected. Or I like to hear people talk about me. And then we're going to find where our real heart is. And if it have really been touched by the word of God. Let me tell you, the gospel is the sweetest thing, the clearest thing, once you see that in your heart is a desire to walk in that word. When that word comes there before you, and you see it there, and you try to get around it, and you try to all things, and you wish you didn't have that in the word, and this has that in the word, and you don't like this preacher who preached that part, and this, that, and the other, oh, something is wrong, and that was never for you in the first place. Amen. You just deceived trying to walk up yourself in a faith. Amen. But brother, here it is in this hour. We don't want a new ministry in the spoken word. You can imagine what it is for the spoken word. Some of us, what, maybe can say we will lay our hands and somebody will never get healed. Sure. Some of us can say we have even discernment to make the right decisions in our daily life. Sure. But you see, sometimes it gives us a full force of the power of our minds. And it sounds so great, and sometimes we try to go into it, you know, to a human desperation, not a revelation, a human, you know, emotion. But when you see the prophet Samson conquer the cross, what it was going to take to see that power come back in his own life. And Samson wrestled himself, but it comes to a spot where he became willing to pay the price. Is that right? He was willing to do it. more to him to have that spirit back in his life. He had too much of fight left in him to just stay there grinding corn. He couldn't see his energies be used for things just to make the Philistines fatter. That's what you want to do. Use all the energies to make unbelievers secure, make the Philistines fatter, make a build the emotional world here. The utopia they're trying to build to bring world peace and these things. To build up Satan's even more? No, sir. No way. There's something inside of us we want to put in the gospel to say sweet unto the coming of the Lord and bring them sleeping saints up, because we know man's kingdom is already over. Yeah. It's been earmarked for judgment. It's going to fall. It's falling. The prophecy that this world is falling apart. I mean, a believer appetite who have seen the heavenly vision, who have come under the power of that vision, who know what that heavenly vision has spoken to their heart. Let me tell you, you know what you've seen in this hour? You know what really thrills your soul? Is to see this word be fulfilled. That's the meat to do the will of him that sent me and that finish his work. Oh, my brother, I tell you, more and more when your heart gets dung into the word of God where it should be, in the hour where it should be, when you see these things that is happening all along about us, it makes you wonder sometimes. You said it has to be a lack of revelation. It has to be a veil of something veiling the people's senses from perceiving what is happening all around them. It's a veil that needs to be taken off of them. When Brother Abraham came, he said it was a veil that was upon the people's hearts that they couldn't see the presence and they couldn't understand the word. Is that right? You struggle. And you find you can't break through it. Just ask God to take them veils off. Just get a holy man case. And then when you think nothing is going on, like Elijah, the Lord opened the boy's eyes and let me see what's really happening. And brother, then you will realize what is really happening. See, but you need eyes to see. And that's why this age has come and by eyes, sir. Let your eyes be anointed. Amen. Let our eyes open and we see and we behold. Amen. Like them on the road to Emmaus. Oh, it was a good preaching. It was good tying the scriptures together. That's all it was to them. But when he broke that bread, he said, that's something to be done. It didn't wake them up. That didn't wake them up. They hear the prophecy, they want to give them a hard burn. It's about what most of us get, a hard burn. You want the hard burn? That's the only one, the hard burn? Hard burn don't do much. You want your eyes open?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. When your eyes get open and you see the word coming to pass, then you can do something about it. Amen. May God give that to us. I trust He will. But we have to hunger and thirst after it. God, the blessed are they that hunger and thirst is a painful desire.
You know, I hope I get a revelation. You know, pick up a book. I want a revelation. I don't understand it now.
Is that I'm nodding yourself and fall asleep? You don't get a revelation that way.
When Daniel was reading the word and he struck the revelation, he put the book down and he started praying.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He started praying because he was convinced that was a vindicated prophet, that was the anointed word, and this is the hour of the fulfillment. That's why the prophet said, don't come to God haphazardly. You come sanely, intelligently, and right in the word. You meet God upon the ground. You can't pay the price. You can't meet it. You ask for God's help. The man came, he realized he had his faith that he needed. He said, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me some more faith. Amen. I have to get it. I don't have enough faith. I can't go ask a man for faith. I can ask you for faith. You can give me the faith to meet what that requirement. Amen.
Glory.
But God sees inside of you the attitude. You are not going to take no for an answer. But about that woman with perseverance. Look at my time to preach that message. One of the messages he preached the most, perseverance. To be persistent in spite of all obstacles. She was determined to achieve that goal. She knew what the will of God was for her. One that struck her heart, he said, not even Jesus could turn her back. You know something? Jesus recognized he couldn't turn her back. For this saying, I have not found such a great faith. Amen. But that was Gentile faith.
Amen.
That was Gentile faith. Amen. That is why it's tied to the spoken word, friends. That attitude must be inside of us. But that attitude comes from the revelation of God's will. And God's will is His Word. And God's Word has been preached and been made plain to us night after night. Amen. We could see the way that God wants us to walk. Amen. I had a little inspiration in my heart tonight about the beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation. And I want to take for the title, The Times of the Gentiles and the Fullness of the Gentiles. Because Jesus spoke of one, the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled. And Paul spoke of the fullness of the Gentiles when it comes in. And Brother Abraham came and tied the two together and says, it's the beginning and the ending of the Gentile dispensation. And he identified to us how it began. And he showed us the things that was being made manifest in the supernatural realm where it was being issued in. And he showed to us that we will not miss it. The same things is happening at the going out of it. Amen? So he proved just from the word what had begun there has come to end there. And Jesus speaking here, you know, speaking about Israel, bringing prophecy to them, what was going to happen. And you can imagine when he stood there and said, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that its desolation is nigh. He was telling them, he said, this nation is going to be destroyed. He might have elaborated and said, he said, remember when you, before you were taken to captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, you went for 70 years, your land was destroyed. When they put you all on ships and take you out to Babylon, he said, you know what was going on? He says, your palace was burned down. Your temple was burned down. The vessel was gone. The young man and the priest was killed inside the temple. The woman was ravished. All the great houses of your princes was burned down and destroyed. Your king was killed right before your eyes. After the starved you and famine for 3 years. They broke the power of your army. He said, but then look, God give you grace. And you're able to come back. And you come back and you rebuild the temple. And you build back your palaces. And you establish your people again. He said, but you know something? You're being taken back out again. Now Israel, they were taken to captivity. And out of their homeland, Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem is one of the cities that have been burnt and rebuilt and burnt and rebuilt and burnt and rebuilt. And it be just like that. And when there are so much great cities, just become desolate. Today look for them, you can't find them. Just been destroyed. But because of what God has said about Jerusalem. Amen. Because of what God said about Jerusalem, no matter they try to bomb it out. Remember in World War I? The man said, I don't want to fire upon that city because of the sacredness of it. General Allenby of the English army. And he wired back the king of England and said, sir, I don't want to fire on that city because of the sacredness of the city. He said, what shall I do? The king says, pray. He made a circle of the squadron fleet and come right back over it again. And while he was coming, all them Turks were run out. Who was in it? With the white flag saying, the allies are coming, the allies are coming. They misunderstood that Allenby was coming. And they surrendered the city without firing one single shot. It was God's hand inside of it. Because of what God had spoken over it. That it could not be destroyed. Amen. Because God has spoken concerning Judah and Jerusalem, concerning that nation in the last days, concerning that city, what's going to happen. Right there in the street of that city, it says Moses and Elijah is going to lay down in a street. Is that right? Right there, the monk is going to split it in two and bring a whole valley that don't even exist right now. Amen. They're going to bring a river flowing right through the air. Amen. One tenth of the city is going to fall in also, it says. You mean God could pinpoint an earthquake 2,000 years before it comes? Yeah. The location and say how much of the city to? Yeah. Amen. Say, what spirit is that? That could say the Messiah will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. What kind of spirit would say, I'm not one of his bones shall be broken? What kind of spirit would say, you know, and you'll be numbered among the transgressors and he will make his grave for the rich? What kind of spirit would say, he'll be dumb before his sharers? Pinpoint details, pinpoint moments that lasted maybe 10 minutes. But identify the place, the time, the behavior, the person, everything. Pinpoint the birth, pinpoint the death. Thousands of years. Friends, don't you realize that this Holy Spirit we talk about, this Spirit of truth, that sometimes we think things are so difficult for the Holy Spirit, only because we don't understand who is amongst us, the Holy Spirit Himself, Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we wonder about tomorrow, we wonder about next week, and we are confused about these things. When God comes and shows that the heavens do rule in everything, take the Bible and show it in a nation, in a home, in a church, in an individual life, everywhere, that God has already laid His word out. What that ought to do to us? Let me tell you, I think making the word is going too fast for us. We don't pause in the word. We think we ought to read a whole lot like this to get an understanding. We just need so much. And if you never stop it, I'll begin to unfold and unfold and unfold and unfold and unfold. You have to read a whole lot to get a little knowledge, no? You take one little seed and just keep staying with it. And keep working in your heart. And keep praying with it. And keep reading that word. And watch it expand and expand and expand. But God has every jot or tittle is inspired. Amen. Now look here, quickly. Now the time flies out. Now Jesus here, as we try to take this little subject in the book of Daniel, is what I mean. And I felt because of what was happening in the world, that the answer lay in the book of Daniel. And that's what moved me into it. I seen what's happening around. And I know that in the Bible there are certain books for certain things. Because God laid His word out like that. Sometimes God give you a scene of a prophet speaking to the church. Sometimes He give you a scene of a prophet alone with God, like Elijah alone in the brook. Elijah alone standing there, forsaken, rejected. Then sometimes God give us a look at the kingdom that was in that time. Then sometimes God give us a view of the church. But He gives us all sides of His word, that the entire revelation of God's will is laid inside of here. All it takes is inspiration. And that's what we need most of all, inspiration. To get into God's spirit. To get before God, to recognize we know nothing. To desire and want it. When we get it, to appreciate it. To know it means more to us. It must mean something to you. Sometimes you become very reluctant to give people certain things. Because you know they don't appreciate it. It means nothing to them, and you know it can just go in a shelf or go in a drawer. That's the end of it. But there are certain things that you know people, you know, when they receive it, they're going to be encouraged by it. They're going to be blessed by it. It's the kind of thing they desire. It's the kind of thing that means much to them. It's the kind of thing that they put a great value upon. And so God, knowing His word, is Himself. Friends, when He extends to us that word, it's of Himself He's given to us. When He's speaking His word, when He opened the seals, He was taking the seals over Himself that we might know Him. He was unveiling Himself. The prophet called the opening of the seals the unveiling of God. What a mess of knowledge about baptism, Pentecost, and church age. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ coming to us. It was the capstone of grace coming down. That we might know Him. That we might love Him and serve Him and surrender to Him. That's what it means to us. You know, just the background for a few moments. Some of the inspiration, because, you know, sometimes people misunderstand you. You preach things back and forth. They don't get it. Because they don't go into the right. Just try to jump in and, you know, sometimes there's a mentality. We just, you know, we in the book of Daniel, we talk about Daniel and Daniel and Daniel and Daniel. And then go to something else, keep that kind of way. But friends, there's something I'm trying to bring this to let you see that something is happening. It has a certain season when God will focus on a certain part of the world. Because those things are necessary at that time. To make the right move. To make the right decisions. To stay under the leadership and see where the Spirit is taking you.
The only way you can really do those things and keep in harmony with the Holy Ghost in your life is to know the word and what is happening in the hour that you are living in the present tense. Sometimes the thing that we see coming there, we cannot identify it. We can't make it out. Like the man looking at the clouds. And he said there's a bunch of angry clouds. Who would paint a picture like that? And he's driving, coming closer and closer to it. And all of a sudden, when he really get into the close to it and begin to really observe it, it wasn't a bunch of angry clouds. It was angel wings beating together. It was a blessing in disguise. Amen. But where he's looking at it from, he really couldn't see it. Like the man who painted the picture, you know, of Christ in the cross. And, you know, the man came in and began to criticize the picture. He says, I don't understand about that picture. I don't see no inspiration in that. I don't see that, you know, great painting. And the old man who stood there, who knew the inspiration, who knew the experience and the relationship that the artist had with God. He said, no, you don't stand from here and criticize it. He said, come, let me show you where you need to watch this from. And they bring by the altar to kneel down. He said, kneel down here and look at it then. And when he kneeled down there and began to look at it, he was now in the right position. He was now in the right attitude. He was now looking from the right angle. It broke him up and make him repent right there and give his heart, because he saw the love of God expressed right there in the painting. Why we don't get it many times? Because we're in the wrong place. We're coming to the place where the person, brother, who is relating to that and who catching that is standing firm. That's all I say. That prophet, when he stood there bringing out a word, if we didn't know where that prophet was getting those things from, if we didn't know what was in that prophet heart, we could stand up like some Pentecostal or Baptist and say, false prophet, false doctrine. I don't even want to hear that. The name of in the Bible is he's a prophet. See, last prophet is John. And don't even look at it. Because they ain't come in the place where they ought to stay and look at it with the attitude that they're supposed to look at it from. So they can't get it. Amen. But it takes us humility sometimes to come and kneel down. It'll take humility sometimes. It'll take you breaking down to really get to see what you want to see. Because you may not want to see nobody let nobody see you kneel down there. You may not know why you see in a position there. You may want to stand up, but you feel more secure where you're standing from. You don't want to leave that position to really get in the place where it must come real to you. Sure. God wants to bring us. But God don't want to give us half truths and halfway experiences. Let me tell you, the experiences that God wants to give you is a changer and give you power over the enemy. Put you in the center of God's will and bring you in harmony with God. Sure. And that is what the hunger and the thirst of the heart of the believer is in this hour. Amen. Empty me, O Lord, of all my self and pride. Empty me. Amen. See, brother, that's what we need. Now watch. So in this book of Daniel, I just want to tell you how the inspiration came up a bit to go there. You know, for a long while, remember, at that time in the back, we took different things and we went into it. But I'm going to see, and you're going to see, that we stay under the inspiration of the book here and move. You watch until the events happen in the world exactly in line with this book. Daniel and Revelation, the two going together, that's the hour that we live in. And God sent a prophet to unseal the prophecy that God tells Daniel to seal it, because it is for the end time. And the end of time still have started. And that angel that Daniel saw standing there swaying by the river, is that right? Daniel 10 was the same thing that John saw in Revelation 10. Exactly right. Daniel heard them seven thunders and John heard them seven thunders. And Malachi 4, he will reveal the mystery of those seven thunders, which are the divine revelations contained in the seven seals in the days of his song. Is that right? Then if those things, you see, but what happens to us many times, even though we have the word, and we know what the word says, it's just a knowledge, because we can't see it outside. We can't apply the word. Because when we look, we don't see with our eyes here, we don't have the understanding to perceive what is there, how to relate to what we read and believe. And that's why there's always a doubt and a wondering. So sometimes our interpretation or a misinterpretation comes along. And you look there and you can't make out what is there, but you believe the word that you read. And somebody gives a wrong application. You get confused. Even though I believe what is here,
Because you know it's for the last days. You look there, things happening there. You don't know where to look. But when God's word begin to fall into place and begin to come clear to us, then we know to move. And God, who is the divine reveal of the word, the spirit of truth, who is going to come to lead us and guide us into all truth, to bring back things to remembrance, show us things to come, teach us all things. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So from the time God sees certain things happening there, He knows exactly where in the world. I was still there, you know, it happened to me over and over. I testified those type of experiences many times. When I was in New Zealand, I bought a little book. And I had it there, I never even looked at it. So I wanted to read it, read 2-3 pages and put it back. Didn't mean nothing to me. And today in the midst of studying right there, it just come to me, go and pick up that book. I walk into my shop, I find it, take the book down. And as soon as I begin to read the book, it's so timely. Everything that's happening right now, how, where this falls, and you know, it just show how things build right up to this very hour in the world, and the things that is taking place. And I said, isn't that amazing? Look out to the bottom of the world, and walk in one little old bookstore out there, and pull a book out, and kept it. All since that was 1988, 2 years ago, and today the Holy Spirit say, pick up that book now. And I was reading there about Israel, how, you know, they come a nation, and how the 1967 war come, and they kept back Jerusalem, and the 1973 Yom Kippur war, and these things, how these things are come up, and you know, the foreign policy of the United States, and what Henry Kissinger was, how he made Israel give up, you know, certain things that they will in that war, because America put in pressure on trying to win the Arabs and get them away from the Soviets and so on. And, you know, I just look and sort of see in the history, and then seeing the present thing, because the book was written in 1975, so they didn't even know when Ronald Reagan coming, when President Bush coming, all the recent things. But then, you know, it's about the time when the Holy Spirit had you to sort of focus on what's happening. So then you can look at that, and then you can look at what God has shown you about these things, and where those things fit in the world, because the seven trumpets and seven vials have been opened up. So then you know exactly. Look how those things are coming right at this time. And then, you know, we look and see that this book of Daniel, you know, I shared with some of the saints last night, the Brother Bram preached Daniel 70 weeks, and we have the book of Daniel. And we may think because he only preached the 9th chapter, a few verses in the 9th chapter or the 70th week, that, you know, we are at a loss. But you see, God don't make mistakes, friends. The same spirit that gave it to Daniel, the same spirit in the prophet. And the same spirit in the prophet was the same one who, when he finished, spoke. Don't you read every scripture in the Bible? He said the entire book is open and every mystery is revealed. Yeah. Exactly right. And that is the same spirit that is here leading the church on into the resurrection. And it's such a tremendous thing because, you know, I remember back in 1980 when I began looking into Feast of the Trumpets and those things, I preach on this same thing here, the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles. Showing one is the political dispensation of Gentile dominion over Israel, and one is dealing with the church that has been called out. See, while the church goes up, the times of the Gentiles is still going on. Until the kingdom is restored back to Israel. See, one of these days is going to happen. And we are going to be part of it. Because we will be there in Jerusalem with him. We're going to come back with me in Revelation 19, friends. If you go in the rapture. So, when all nations gather around them, like they gather right here. Why do you think that can be World War III? Because we're supposed to be in marriage, supposed to be coming back. With him, that it can't be that. See? You know, a lot of people have to see the war going, World War III, boo! I was talking to the minister, I was telling him, I said, that can't be World War III, brother. It says, World War III is in a geographic place called Armageddon. Yeah. Revelation 6 in the Hebrew tongue. Yeah. In a place called Armageddon. You will gather the kings of the earth in that place. In the valley of Jehoshaphat, God shall come and judge them in Joel 3, where the wine vat will overflow. Yeah. You will make the wine press outside the city, 200 miles long, and to the height of the horse's bridle. God never said the Gulf. No.
Now I said, those things, it's a different objective there. It's a different objective there. But you see, common events cast their shadows before them. And what is happening there is just making like a type, a shadow. It is like a blueprint being made right now. So you can see, you who live in here, this generation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled.
You control the world right now, who have been drunk with the wine of fornication from the cup of that harlot. Who gives the strength and power for the beast?
It's the same one. And you know, it was in, when we struck the inspiration of junction time. I've been to preach another junction time because we knew that there is going to be a change of ministry. It's going to be a change in time. The prophesy must continue in evangelism until that time comes. Then the thing will be used. Not until then. If one for that statement, we can run into all kinds of things. Let me tell you, if Paul didn't say Israel would be blind until the time of the fullness of the Gentiles come in, you'd have so much missionary programs over in Israel trying to win the Jew. But a prophet messenger who met the pillar of fire would say Israel is blind and God is grafting a wild altar right now. And when they come in, then God will go back to Israel. If God didn't put that in the Bible, we would have divine leadership. And so the same way, if God didn't spoke those things there when he showed the ministry of the Son of Man being reincarnated and show young rabbi healing 1946, then begin to rebuke the organization discerning spirits, then come with the spoken word and then the opening of the word and say there's one more part, the preaching to the lost. And when he preaches there, could this be the time? He says no, we have to wait until Christ is forming Mary. Then come the King commandment. He said, when you see the congregation tighten up and bring the squeeze on, then this time is going to come to preach to the lost. And because that was said, you don't go trying to bring spoken word ministry. You don't go doing this and manufacturing this and going to speak all kinds of, no. You wait there, you know, in that time God is doing something. I must continue in evangelism until that time comes. Because the second pull discerned the honest in heart and the third pull went back to get them. Is that right? No. And the third pull was after the doors was closed in the days of Noah. When the last one came in, God shut the door and still had a waiting time. Exactly right. When Jesus went down there, he was rejected in Pilate's judgment hall, but then he was publicly crucified on Calvary. And then he went and preached to the, had an earthquake and went and preached to the lost. And knowing those things and believing those things to be God's word is why we pour thousands and tens of thousands of dollars into evangelism, traveling, going there, strengthening the bride, visiting, preaching the message, wherever God will open a door directed by the Holy Spirit. And see the Holy Spirit vindicate those things supernaturally around the world in so many places. And every time you go and you come back here, the Holy Spirit comes right back inside the local church with the word and take it up a little higher, revealing more and more of the word all the time. And God working in your heart in a way to give you faith to stay in the channel, to follow the leadership, to know what His will is, to be perseverant, no matter what problems come, whether it's church problems, whether it's outside problems, whether it's home problems, whether it's self problems, keep persistent until that goal is achieved. Yeah. And how many times have you been still looking to the unseen, still persistent to achieve the goal? Amen. Keep saying those things because why? You cannot change from that inspiration. And that time still has not yet come. Amen. And right there, God, you know, begin to bring an inspiration. And by faith, started to preach another junction time. And, you know, show the junctions that there's going to be a change in time and God's going to deal with people differently. And I remember we're going to take little simple things like Jesus. When he saw the donkey
get a vision about a donkey. And that meant the ministry was preaching. Because when he goes into Jerusalem on that donkey, it was your king cometh unto you meek and lowly. Every time he went to Jerusalem, it never happened. And the last time he's going to die this time, when he said the hour by hour is come, the vision broke and the donkey was tied right there. He said, if any man asked to tell him the Lord has need of it. Because it must be according to the scripture in Zechariah, saying it's time to go. Then the brother proved that was that when he sat in the house in a social event, they had a dinner for him, and he sat down there after dinner and no doubt fellowshipping about the things of the world and his present inspiration, because he's praying over Jerusalem, cry over the city, all these things. And the sister walked in and began to anoint him. And the brothers and them make a whole big fuss over it, and they find that they're wasting money and this and the other. He said, leave it alone, this is my burial. And he identified back in the Bible. And then within the next day, while they go out there, he said, go out there by the city and you'll find right going to see a man with a water pitcher on his shoulder. Follow him. You'll go into a certain house, and when you go into the house, tell him the master needed a house to the Last Supper. And those things that happened was revelations. It was all in the Bible. When he sat there in the supper, he said, he that breareth me, lift up his heel against me. So many times he eats, so many times he break the bread, so many times he pray, but he wouldn't say it until that hour come. Little things, and Jesus was perceiving the change. Because I was looking at the little things happening, coming in. The words striking, going out there and preaching in Africa. Go down there and see that dove, that snow white dove. In Argentina for all them years, I came out and went right back and said, junction time, it's time for a change of ministry. When that dove began to go, it's going to be lost in these things, and God give a sign. And I came back and testified the sign of a snow white dove. And then going to Zimbabwe, I said, I'm going to watch it and see what's going to happen. But a movement myself went, and an inspiration in Zimbabwe, right there under the message, preaching about Esther and the persecution and the things that is coming right there, and the Holy Spirit moving up to the services, pre-junction time, total separation, all those things right there. And come back here for 4 years, didn't go, though he had invitations all the time. But somebody said, go in, go. And I pray, I said, Lord, all the confusion I had the last time, may when I go this time, I go in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. I came and play the tape right back here for you. The power of God hit that place. I'm following those things. And by faith, I had to preach those things in junction time. I know David, in that junction time, began to perceive the change. And took out God's stack a little force, a little problems, a little strife among Abner and Mephibosheth. That made Abner move away and pull the kingdom and carry it to David. Because the prophets prophesied that they were trying to keep back from coming to pass all them years while they tried to strengthen the house of Saul against the house of David. But God moved right down inside of them and brought that division. And then they anointed David king. And the Bible said, and David perceived that God had made him king. He began to get a revelation that this is what I carried in my heart all these years. Since Samuel walked in and anointed me that day, since I had them escape with the lion and the bear, I know one day something's going to happen. And this is the hour. It's time for it to happen. And you remember those things? I hope you do. Yeah. That's just something very short, you see. That's why I said, I could go and preach. But you see, I feel many times that you think it's new things. And it's something you're following. It's something you've got a way back there, coming up, I went to hit a spot. That's why you have the conviction you have. That's why you're preaching with the urgency you're preaching to it. That is why you can't help but being excited over it, because for years you're following, coming up. And when you hit that spot, you know that. It must move there. And you see the Holy Spirit moving. You see where he's passing. That's why the Spirit makes certain statements. People say, how did you say that? You're afraid to say that? What are you afraid about? You sit in the world by revelation, you can say it. Because if it's wrong, then all them things have been wrong. Amen. But God have led, and you believe that God have led. And that's why I tell people, look, if you have seen the word and heard the word, why don't you follow the word? Why don't you humble yourself to the word? Why don't you let the word come into your heart in a real way? Then we took Paul down there, how he began to see the hardness of the people's heart coming in, and he knew that change in time, and he dust his feet off, and said, now we go to the Gentiles. And then he began to realize, he said, oh yes, the pillar of fire told me when he called me years ago that I must preach to the Gentiles, but I couldn't go before. He began to understand now why he was getting the kind of revelations he was getting. He said, I'm an apostle to the uncircumcision. Even though he was getting, you know, all kind of battles with people on the Jewish side who thought that he was taking away a lot of Jewish customs and making it of no effect, real holy sacred things, only preaching faith. Yet they didn't understand where God had taken him up and the things that God was showing him. That he could rightly divide the age. He could actually preach the promise and show where how the church needs to come. He saw why churches was losing their anointing and going back into works. He said that the working of miracles come by the Spirit or by the hand of faith or by the works of the law. They was losing it. He said you stand up in the Spirit and up in the flesh. They didn't know why the revival died out. They didn't know why they ended up dry. But he knew why they ended up dry. He saw when the channel changed. Because he saw the kind of preachers was preaching there. And he saw the things they were emphasizing. Because they didn't have a clear vision of the edge of what God was doing. Sometimes we need to know what we're looking at. Friends, let me tell you something. This is not of man. This is not of man at all. And we took that junction time, and because at the same time of what was happening in Europe, they tear up the whole wall, they busted it up and tear it out and pulled all the fences everywhere, because there's a fence that run right through East and Western Europe, which was a symbol of communism, an ideological barrier, because they are believing communism and socialism and these things, and these on the side had believed in democracy. And they put up a wall to show we had two different peoples, and Europe became the place where the standoff would normally take place, where the Russian had all their warheads and America had all their warheads, and two superpowers they're holding, you know, countries on that side and countries on this side. And I got a whole era of time since World War II till that time that they called the Cold War. And during that time, you know what, thousands of billions of dollars that was spent by America to contain communism at every front around the world. All in Vietnam, all in Latin America, down into Europe, but all around the world, in the Caribbean, everywhere. What did that Grenada invasion all of it was about? 60 miles from here, what did that was all about? Remember, you go back in 1982 and see. At that very same time, I took and preached on the seal of God and the seal of the angel right there. The very time of the invasion. Now watch. And those things, they put the money to them and become so bankrupt that it caused them to have to sell to the Roman Catholic Church. In order to pay off the debt, trying to fight communism. I know what happened? When they tear up that wall and bust up that whole wall. It means those places that they were pouring money into and putting up bases on these become obsolete now. They're not fighting their enemy no more. But while they're trying to fight, they drain you. That now the spirit upon America is a mercenary spirit. They're going out there to fight that war. And they're making the other nations pay for it. That is a mercenary. A mercenary is one who has taken money from that one person to fight the war. You're the big bully. They pay you off and you go and fight the balance of them. But I told you, it's a hunt on. And you know, when we started that day, I said, look, the world is in a junction time. The nation is in a junction time. The church is in a junction time. I said, the individual is in a junction time. Some of you didn't come to yours yet, but then God's going to bring it to yours. Some of you maybe still come to yours, but you'll come to yours too. Jacob was prospering, Jacob and this and that, everything coming, but had an Esau to meet? Had an angel to wrestle with? You know, walls right back into the promise? No, sir. And God don't forget, because 20 years passed down there. We know that. But sometimes we are so short in our memories, we think God will forget. And just when you need God's help, when you thought there's nothing else can help in your life in danger, God will say, what about that time? You still have to face that. Amen. Remember the prophet on the boat? The Lord is going to be calling people trash. He did not be calling them trash. When he saw death before him, though all the things he knew, the big man, a wife and children, everything, going down the cataract, the first thing on the mind is, years ago, when you were supposed to go to the service of God, You didn't go. You listened to your mother-in-law. She called them a bunch of trash and they carried my daughter out there and these things. And that come that very moment right here when he saw death. Let me tell you, when death faces you, you're wrong. It's going to come right. Your unconfessed sin and your wrongs that you haven't made right. God may be not sure. You may forget it, but it's going to come right up there. Must be dealt with. Them angels can't take you until them things are fixed. There's a lot we need to understand, but I said in this book of Daniel, the reason we took the message we took was to show you that how the unseen realm works in the affairs of man. Nothing to be going on unknown to the unseen. It is God that is ruling. It's God that is raising up kings and putting up kings in these things. And because those things are so relevant is why we in these things. Because it put our mind in the channel where we could understand, or we could see and perceive things that are happening in a real way. Like it could affect us. It could cause us to pray, to be sincere, to hold the things of God sacred, to cherish it, to appreciate it, to be concerned about loved ones and people who need to be strengthened and delivered that we're responsible for. And the warning that we're supposed to give and the witness and testimony to this generation we're supposed to give, we want to walk consecrated. We want to hold that word true and give a true witness. Because we can't expect to turn around to judge somebody that we never give a true witness to. Oh my. That's why sometimes, you see, if the devil pull the wool over your eyes and you think you're coming to church, and you sit down again, I ain't if I like this church, I ain't if I like that minister, I ain't if I like how this preach, I ain't if I come for this, I never rather that. And you live right here and you don't realize every individual here have a responsibility before God for every place that they have put you in and for every word that they have revealed to you. That's right. So now we think it's just Peter's responsibility. But that kind of ignorance, there'll be no court of appeal for that kind of ignorance. Because the word has shown us beyond that. The word I've shown is a post, something called a post of duty for every Christian that we hold sacred, that we become responsible for, that we try to carry out whatever office, whatever place we have with dignity, with respect. Amen! In order to say we are a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, that title, you know, we can come at the Pentecostals and call that thing Lord, Lord, and the Lord should be, and the Lord called to me, and the Lord should be, and the Lord should be, and the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord was, and the Lord was, and none was the Lord. Don't let us message people get out of the way at all, no sir. Let's make sure that we are servants of the Lord, and the Lord taught us. We are holding those things sacred, and we are conscious of the responsibility to say those things. No. Not is something to garnish ourselves with appear spiritual, no sir. But to really have the Spirit of Christ. Now what? And that world begin to change. And, you know, they begin to tear down all these walls and so on. Policy begin to change. New ideologies begin to rise. Then we see it's going to happen right in the Caribbean. I told us in the Caribbean at a junction. What, they have to unite on money and so on. I was in a couple of days and right there in the papers. They're talking monetary union and all these things. Because they know. They are on their tower. The man in the financial tower, the man in the political tower, the man in the religious tower. They're looking off in the distance. There are people in the city they're responsible for. And they see what is coming. And they see what their position is going to be and what kind of influence they're going to have. Or what forces they'll have to compete with. And the man, let's say, who has a job out there in the system, he has a responsibility. And he works over the system, and the system has an objective. And they are all trying to get the people, you know, moving forward into Caribbean unity, into monetary integration, all these things, because they are aware now we can no longer function. We have reached the stage in the journey where things must take a change. Even right during the time, here we see it, and more we're going to see, because kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Everything who is not going to be swamped is going to come into those 10 toes, those 10 kings, and that king with the triple crown over them. That's what it's going to end up into until the real King of Kings comes. But you see, sometimes we cannot really put the emphasis, and we can't appreciate the reality of the spiritual truth and these things that comes to us from the Word, because we don't see the other part that goes with it. And a lot of years, you know, you just scream to show people how late it is, that unknown language, all it becomes sayings. It becomes nice things. When the people have seen that those things that come back around, and the Holy Spirit is here and those things, you know, what kind of people it ought to be? But it was a little enthusiastic thing. When you understand unknown language and these things in Revelation 11, you know that that's the end. Because from the time that anointing was on that prophet come upon that bride, and she began to say what the prophet have said, there will be a church being prepared for rapture and grace. Sure. There will be a people coming to a perfect faith right now. Because it goes together, friend. That's why God anoints the Word. You didn't go to a prophet and anoint him. What's the call of people out? There must be a people walk out of that organization and renounce the thing. Because he was anointed, he was given the message to do that. The Spirit pushed him to bring that Word in such a way, chop people out of the nation. Once you recognize him, the other message. He said, them prophets hew the people out. He said, I'm hewing a bride out of these churches. Reading taking charge of Jesus, he said, God is giving me the messages one after the other to blast that organization, to break that influence, and to call it, Lord, in a calling out time. He knew it had to take place. When you see God anointing the Word, and you see why God is putting that anointing on the Word, and you see when God giving the message, where he's putting the emphasis on what the message is sent for to achieve, you must know when to get it. Because you know the behavior it will bring. Amen. You see it in the world and you see it among the church. Because one spirit, you know. When God poured the spirit of restoration, it fell on everybody. Some in the natural, they want to go back to natural identity. Some in the spiritual, who caught it by revelation, who has been born again, was going back to a real spiritual identity. But all was talking restoration, all was talking going back to your roots, all was going back to your origin, your beginning. Because there was something coming to make you think that way. To set your spirit in that channel. To make you look at things in that perspective. And ever so often, as the beat changes, and you see the spirit move up in another realm in the Word, that's how it comes. It always comes through the Word. That is why when you hear the Word, you watch what the Spirit is speaking. You watch what the Spirit is emphasizing on. You watch where the Spirit is going. You watch what the things is bringing out there. And you keep in close contact with it. And you probe it, and you ask God to reveal it to you, until you see it begin to come into a practical outworking in your own life. You make sure you watch over your own spirit and guard your own spirit, that you don't hear it in an academic manner as something to theorize and discuss over. But you make sure you hear it in a way it comes into a practical outworking in your own life. Amen. And then when those things start to move from on there, you know, I came and we took light and darkness and showed those things it's been pushed to each side now. God's going to do the elect. There is going to be a ministry. We took the ministry of the light and the ministry of the light to this hour and all those things. We're going to bring that to show that there is a people who have become the manifesting Word. There is a people who is that light, who know that that light sent forth to do certain things. Like Jesus knew the light, knew John was the light, knew what John's light was supposed to do. He knew what his light was supposed to do. Paul knew when he met that light, what his light was supposed to do. And we took those things in the Bible and showed it that in every age, God worked that way. All the time, the Holy Spirit breathed up to a certain place. And then, after going to Europe, back among the brothers in Czechoslovakia, came back and testified that went in the other year, that wall was being broken down. Go back in after the wall is broken down and another wall is built up. And I preach right there to them how God gave me that inspiration in the car. But four messages right there to show that before that wall was broken down, there was another wall built. But it was an invisible wall. It was an economic war. And how that Roman power restored diplomatic relations with every one of them nations exactly. Look at talking about how the Catholic Church is so strong in Poland right now. The very place where the Holy Spirit went and brought the message, showed the Vatican-Washington Alliance, showed the destruction of the money system, showed all those things that's coming in. And while God was doing those things, how the Spirit opened up and showed what was coming, and is following those things. Who knew that the first test for the new world order that was coming out was going to take place in Israel? And you see the last couple of days there, how America and the United Nations turned around and condemned Israel and threw away, put it on a show for the Arabs. That's right. And you see Israel standing alone defiant as ever. See, people don't understand inspiration. People don't understand what inspiration will make you do. People don't understand what real God-given convictions are. See, and when you see the world and the whole... Let me tell you, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd shut down and sit down here. Sure. I'm not trying to be boast, I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying to be thankful for how God has worked. When we see the hour, and we see these things moving right before our eyes like that, and friends looking at that Bible there, then those people ask Jesus that question, walking down the road, and walk on the road like that. And he said, Lord, when will God restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, not unto you to know the times and the seasons. He said, they didn't know it yet, but he came to John 30 years after, or 60 years after rather. And he revealed it to John. And he showed John. All those things were going to happen. Is that right? And the Holy Spirit come here by supernatural experience. I mean, who could have thought of that and say, take up the book of Kings and read about Adonijah and read this and read that and read this and read this. And come people have 4.5 hour message here and the blessed and only potentate and show those things in the world down to the very letter. How they gathered all those powers and these things, how that prophet is listening to the bride, and all those things, and so the whole book right inside of there, when those things is coming in. And then look, and see while those things being revealed here, and coming right up in this hour, Jesus told him, he said, pray thy kingdom come. And then the prophet one says, look, the Lamb have left the Father's throne to take his own throne, but between that time he opens the book. On his father's throne he was son of God, and on his own throne he was son of David. But between the son of God and son of David comes a son of man. When he opens these seals and reveals the names of the ones he died for, and who is covered by blood, and who is the bride in every age, and who would be the bride in this age, and how do I know the word by what is happening? Because they are part of that word. And they are the ones that will be gathered together, and those seven thunders would be revealed to them to give them rapture in faith, and by and through the members of the bride, these will be finished. And he will gather his bride together and they will reign with him when he come back. And since 1963, it's almost 25, 27 years now, that is going on, being caught up, and the Spirit came here a couple, 3 weeks ago and bring that message and the stone that smote the image and show how that coming of that stone was that very ministry. And he knew what this stone was going to do. And he knew it was a ministry of judgment. Is that right? Saw it. You see that stone coming, the Holy Spirit shows first, before that stone comes in this earth, it's going to be in this earth, it's going to break up the image in this earth. The earthly image, is that right? Which is only what we are shaped by from the influence of this world, Satan's Eden. And Satan's Eden is those Gentile kingdoms. Exactly what it is. And that influence has shaped us. Make us look for a future here in this world. Give us the education, polish us a little bit. Give us the clothes to wear. Give us the fashions. Give us the music. Give us everything. Give us the type of religion, everything. And then a word comes. And the prophet, you know, that smiting stone begins to break up them images. To bring us into the image of that very rock himself. that he becomes the image inside of us. Go and fill this earth and show how it's happening in a natural form. Just like a spiritual Armageddon before a natural Armageddon, all these things. Just like a spiritual sixth seal before a natural sixth seal. All these things happen now. But the unlearned cannot understand it because they lack divine revelation to perceive what is happening. But the Spirit is taking us right in line with the Word. And we can see what is happening. That's why. How do you know it's true? Because every day he keeps giving more. And more keeps making it stronger. And more keeps making what is going around you clearer. If it wasn't of him, it would have stopped years ago. Amen! You see, friends, that is why we hide it in our hearts. We hold, we cherish it. We want to get into the Spirit. As we all got to look out there and tell us to get out. That's not our calling. So you won't see it in any case. You'll beat your head over there and you won't see it. You ain't called to see it. When it's brought to you and preached and presented to you, there's something in you that could witness to it. But that is the Word. There's something in you that take the same thing you read and make it alive to you in a way that when you read it, it wasn't that real to you. It makes it jump out the page and become alive to you. You see? And they ask him. And right here we see what the question they ask him. When will that kingdom come back to Israel? When will that stone come in the earth, in other words, and join that great thing? And Daniel already said, in the day of the 10 toes, in the day of the iron clay. And then you see a prophet comes and says, look, the ending of the Gentile dispensation. Look, Eisenhower. Look, Khrushchev. Look, the tongue, the messenger in tongues, going forward, showing death. Look, a prophet standing there, interpreting the handwriting of the world. Look, a Babylon here that conquered the world. Is that right? Well, we could look and we could see what is happening. Oh my. What it ought to do to us. And after, you know, we came back out from there in Europe, you know, we went right into the seal of God because it had the coup in the country and the Holy Spirit come here and took those things up and went to the Bible with it. Sure, political disturbance, whether it's on a national level, whether it's on an international level, whether it's on a global scale, whatever. It's under those seven trumpets. That's why it's clear. Because those trumpets is this political disturbance. What do you think bring birth pains in the earth? War. Amen. I said, the transition was always by invasion and war. What started the Gentile age? The beginning of the Gentile age? War. War against Israel. Is that right? Invasion against Israel. Exactly right. Babylonian power. Moving to the conquer them and take them captive. How are you going to go out? The same way? Mr. Babylon, the people want to conquer them, trap them? Exactly right. Strangle them. And look, we are bringing, when we started in here, I told ourselves, you know, for a long time, like the Spirit was directing there, and then I said, okay, let's start it. And not so much to bring it in, you know, verse by verse, like a commentary, but to Daniel calls a revelation. And Daniel is a book that speaks of the times of the Gentiles. Though it doesn't call it that in the book of Daniel. Jesus, who called the dispensation of Gentile rule over Israel from Nebuchadnezzar until the days of the 10 kings, Jesus termed that the times of the Gentiles. But Daniel shows the nations, he points out the nations. And which man can stand up and predict the nations that was going to be down till the end? Nobody can do it. Who could have said America? America didn't exist yet. America didn't exist 200 something years ago. And that one, the big toes. Who would have called Russia? See? Probably a bunch of ignoramuses and bearded Siberians up there in the cold. Do you know their right hand from the left hand? But God spoke of these nations that was going to come. And look here. You know, it's good to hear the word like that. When That's something we can hear and preach, and it's fine, and get us and choose. But that's something that we need to study. When we hear, we need to go back and check it in the Bible. We need to read it. We need to go and maybe get a little map or something, and look and see where them places are to understand what is really happening. And if we don't have that kind of spirit to really grasp it, it will never be a revelation. We'll just get a little superficial things our memory could remember. But the picture will become clear and vivid to us where we can contain it and hold it and see it become a clearer picture as we continue in fellowship with God along His Word. When you see them places there, exactly you see where they position, you see why they become a threat. You see the world, that's why certain territories is so important for Rome to conquer and get a hold of, so she can cripple the whole world and control the world trade and commerce and bring a squeeze on the world. Isn't that easy to bring a squeeze on this whole world, you know? That'll happen overnight. Let me tell you, to bring a world government with the kind of spirits they had, we had men like Stalin, we had men like Hitler and them fellas and them. Let me tell you, but God knows the time. He take down kings and put up kings. He knows the kind of men who sell the kingdom for just to be a celebrity. He knows the kind of men who come into power will sell all the nation riches and everything else just for a little fame and personal glory. Sure. God knows. God knows that man who will die there. Rather go out, brother, with every last man fighting before they give up to anything. And then you know those who are going to come in and just don't think twice and just sign a paper and give away everything. Sure. You watch and see. How could a prophet say fascism and Nazism will swallow up in communism? It's ideology you're talking about. For people to propagate an idea, to spread an influence, to sort of capture the minds of people, to take countries and governments under control, to reshape the world. For a man to stand up, that's going to take place, and then take the world to least likely to succeed, and that's the one going to end up in there. Because why? He wasn't centered on his mind. The scriptures say that. God's foreknowledge, God's all-seeing eye that seen down to time, that same God. When you see that same God come here and try to tell us something that's going to happen tomorrow, next week, to make the decision now, do this here. We're so afraid to trust the Holy Spirit. Yet we can read and talk about how God is standing from quite there and look down through the corridors of time and say, thus and thus will happen. And every man you detail, the position of the nation, the condition of the church, everything. We're going to be trade and commerce, the nation that will be ruling everything. And laid out the geography, history, everything. What's going to be happening to the stars and everything else? What's going to happen to the moon and what's going to happen to the sea and in the earth? Don't get earthquakes and phenomena and everything else. Put it right to the button. And then that same God come and tell you and me. Then we see the power of resistance in the human nature. Then we see what stiff neck is. Then we see all uncircumcised in the heart. What that really is. Then we see what pride, how strong pride is. Then we see what stubbornness is, really like idolatry. Then you really see it. Brother, when you look and you see the God of all grace, he take his word and begin to show to us from a global level to a national level to a church level, and then down to the individual in your own life, and still you ain't lose sight of the principle God talking about. Let me tell you, you can say, Lord, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You can say, the entrance of thy word, give it light. You can know in your heart and have the full assurance of faith, you're walking in step, you're walking the truth, and you have fellowship with God. The time we came and we took those wars and the seal of God in the mark of the beast, and I told us I must go to Daniel together, because if Daniel brings out the revelation of the beast, in the book of Revelation it's called the beast, this last ruler that's going to come, the devil incarnate. And I told you the other night, I said, look, when God created the serpent, God knew that one day Satan will be incarnate in this fella, and he will preach a message to deceive the church. and you'll bring the whole earth into chaos. When that man of sin was going to be revealed, when he was going to commit a strong delusion and deceive the church, God back there could have looked and know the day was coming. Just like Paul and them, with the same spirit of God upon them, look and could tell it that it was coming. Is that right? Then Jesus, he knew that Judas there, when he was born, and Mary gave that final push, and the baby came out, and they cut the umbilical cord, somewhere around maybe Judas is coming out at the same time too. There was twins come out of the same womb of Judas. Then that spirit hit the earth, the other one hit the earth. Circumstances caught their path in life to cross. And they became friends. And they'd come along with the word going along. And they was preaching. One of the pastors, one of the treasurer, and they was coming along there. And then look what was going to happen. It was going to come to a place. And when that time came out, and you see that Jesus knew one day, this fellow here, Satan will be encountering this man. The devil himself, Lucifer, who challenged me in heaven, will be in this man. You think that right now God knows that have a man on the face of this earth, that Satan will incarnate in the same way God became flesh in that prophet? And the same way when that prophet was so filled with the wisdom of God, he said, Liam, thinking God thoughts. He could look right back down through that Bible. He could see the plan. He could see the twill of the serpent. He could see all them great divine mysteries. He could preach those things. The intelligence of the eyes. He said, the intelligence is here. Amen. The very capstone of Jesus Christ was here, anointing the Logos. He said, you're getting information from that very one. When he came to anoint, he said, let's sit and try something right now. Challenge the devil right there when he knows he's under the anointing of that very one who had possessed him. The same way God knows there's a man walking around the face of the earth. The devil going to come down in that very man. That man, he's going to start to come out with some wisdom and revelations. And he's going to start to do some signs and wonders. That he's going to have that world like that. And all the kings of the earth will look upon that man with reverence. That man's policy, they will just be a satellite fit in their own nation. See, he's coming, friends. Waiting on this United Nations becoming so powerful now. You back in what shall I do with Jesus Christ? We don't have time to read these things here. Uniting time and sign, them messages. But I'm saying that United Nations was just a big rubber balloon. Say, everybody doctrine that they're going along with. See? But this, what have happened here, the changes of the world have begun to give them prominence, have begun to give them weight. It has been a place of security for them kings. And nobody is going to step up and do anything on their own. We're going to do it under a United Nations sanction. We're going to do it in the form of United Nations Security Council. Sure. See? And those things coming in. He says, what it is the dynamics, the mechanics they're laying right now, only waiting for Satan to go down in the dynamics. Because the United Nations is only the political side of it. The World Council of Churches is the religious side of the same thing. Just two realms of the same people. But the same money moves the two of them. Same spirit lives in the two of them. You watch and see. As those things begin to spread now and take over among the little church, the little called ones who stand in the air, who seen the system coming, who is going to be faced with a challenge, who is going to come under pressure to bow, and the same kind of pressure they're putting on Saddam to bow. The religious side will put the same kind of pressure upon you to bow. You're going to be strangled, you can't eat or you can't drink or nothing can come in, you can't buy and you can't sell. Sure. Oh no, the blueprint has already been made. The tactics that are going to be used, the channels to show the spirit that is dominating the scene at present will be on display. That the word of God that's been ministered to us and the truth that has been made plain to enlighten us, that we could understand the closeness and we could read the handwriting on the wall. Let me tell you, that was happening right there. Daniel stood there and he was reading it for them. And they stood there waiting to hear the interpretation because they needed to know what it said. And God, when he wrote it, the writing stay on the wall. Come and they couldn't try to know what it interpreted. And then the queen says, tell a man, the king of Daniel, go and get him. Wherever they went, how far they traveled to get them, and they bring him, when they bring him, it was still there on the wall. They came to preach. And as he began to unfold to them, the prophecy was an unknown language that had to be revealed by supernatural interpretation. But those people are going to know exactly positionally where they stand in the eyes of God and what their future was going to be. We don't stand no different tonight. We don't stand no different. But when you hear the word, what does it mean to you? I'm going to put a pause here and close it tonight. A few, couple of minutes tonight. When you hear the word, what does it mean to you? When you hear these things, I say some of these things to show you a reason that I feel the Holy Spirit is leading and pushing us to go into the book of Daniel. To show you that there was two distinct, there's a definite distinction between the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles. One had to do with the church in the religious realm, spiritual realm. One had to do with dominion over Israel, but Gentile dominion in the political realm. Look at Israel. We'll be trodden down. Even Revelation 11 says, "And they still had 42 months to trod them down." There, while Moses and Elijah stood preaching, bringing plagues upon them Gentiles, delivering them from Roman hands, Gentile hands, like Moses delivered them from Jewish hands back then. Then, after Moses and Elijah end, Christ came and began to smite them in Revelation 19. Like Solomon began to smite Adonijah, false king, and all his kingdom. And then Solomon sits on the throne. Then Christ is going to come for the throne of David. But that's back there. But here we're saying that coming has already started. But that's what Revelation 10 is. Revelation 5 is a priest, a lamb. A dove had been slain. Revelation 19 is a king with royal diadems. One was priest and one was king. But in between that time, he was judge. You come in judgment. And the Gentile nations is who's being judged because it's time for Israel restoration. It's time when Gentile dominion will have no power over Israel. And America, who is like the great ally, they're the big superpower to stand by them, to arm them, to give them economic aid. That when the Soviets tried to arm all the Arabs and them there to crush them, America could come to the aid and stand there at the side. Because of all the Jews back there and because of the strategic position that they're important to Israel back there. But then look and see a shifting. Another spirit, an evil spirit. God had a spirit anointing them to stand with them for a season. But now they're thinking an evil thought. Now they could sacrifice them as a pawn, even as a scapegoat, because they have richer Arab friends, better allies. Give them more influence in the world, because the richer friends have the oil that moves the industrial world. See? And they know what kind of weapon the oil is, more powerful than the atomic bomb. A lot of other nations have atomic bombs to fire back at you, but they don't have oil to cripple them. They have nothing. They have no oil. They have nothing to bring the world to a standstill. And the United Nations never had a voice. Wishy-washy back and forth all the time. But look, you read what happened? How does like they're praying by the Wailing Wall? Praying by the Wailing Wall for the Messiah. Now they're going to pray, they weep and they wail at the wall. One day the Messiah is going to come back. Now when it came back, 3 minutes at midnight, the prophet tell about the film. He said, look, the fig tree is restoring. It's growing. Jerusalem restoring. National life, long the throne. But today she's calling, a lot of winds falling. Over 1 million Bibles sent inside of the air, written from backwards. How the Hebrew languages for the Jews that they had there. And he was going there with the Messiah sign. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you is not to get the 11th hour Jewish
workers, you should get the 11th hour Gentile workers. Go and get them first. Make sure they get the same pen. That's what you have to do.
Amen. Amen.
But he had to come back around and wait for them seven seals to bring the word, call it the bride, and bring it to that place. And with such a confidence, he said not one atomic bomb could fall until his bride goes. Because he knew the scripture and he knew how sure God's word was. And you see why I was praying there. Right in the midst of all this crisis. And all them Arabs, they know. The only thing that could unite them immediately is to wage war on Israel. And to show up the deceit of America, you know what they decide to do? They get them Palestinians there to make an attack on Israel right at the wall. Don't pelt them in the house or when they drive in their cars or try to, you know, stone the schools or something. You have to do something that will bring a certain degree of provocation to get a reaction. Wait until they're all there by the wall, wailing and crying in prayer before God. And they begin to launch assault and start to stone them. And they turn around and the soldiers, they shoot 19 of them. Over 67 was wounded. And right away, the whole Arab world at a standstill. Who is standing divided, with one side giving America support, the Western world and all these things, to see what they're going to do. And they had to turn around and condemn the very thing in order to defuse the situation and to keep favor in the eyes of those people here. But you see, God have it like that to get you to stand alone. Sometimes God break up things to get you to stand alone. Push into a place, because it's just to push Israel into a place. They're going to look up. They're not going to look for America. They're going to have an F-16 bomber, or they have a special Hawk missile or something. No, not because they have that. You're not going to find security in that. You're going to find security in the mighty conqueror. The God of Israel who fought for Joshua, the captain of the Lord hosts. Now you're going to find the security. And God knows just at this stage of a person's life, whether it's a family, whether it's an individual, whether it's a nation. Because God said, I will never forget Israel. If you can measure how high the heavens and how deep the sea is. If you can do that with the number of stars, it will tell me if I'll forget Israel. I can never forget Israel. And that's why you see exactly what is happening. To push them to one side. Because they already getting those signals. The pressure is upon them. They'll have to want to give up that land, like the same way they'll want us to give up this word, give up this faith that has been restored to us, give up this message, and come into a compromise where we can accept somebody else's ideology, and we wouldn't criticize them. You know, like the director of Serval, Gerald Panton, when he gave that speech there, you know, you have more wisdom, a little more subtlety of the serpent. A little more than the Bishop Abdullah. He blasts out false gods in a rage openly. And everybody clamped down on him and said, are you inferring that the Islam worship false gods? And all it took was a little subtlety to rephrase the whole thing. And the other one said, he says they have these egomaniacs who went out and discredited one of the world's great religions, trying to misquote the holy book. See what he did? He turned around and called it the world's great religions. See, the mother always has more sense than the daughter. Young, trying to get some attention, short there. But she said the mother knows the ways of subtlety because she's had many years inside it. You know, just how to get. That's how they say heretics and separated brethren. They don't use the words nice. And that is what tickled many people's ears many times. They just like it to be said nice. Coated with sugar. Amen. You see? And begin to stabilize the ship and keep peace. And in a very high way, put a slap. You know, don't do that again, you know. After all, we are the IRO and we need to be a little more wise in getting the unbelievers in, even though we call them nice names. This world is full of deceit, full of make-believe. Only the truth is going to stand. We have the privilege tonight to abide in that truth, to live by that truth. Man shall live by bread alone, but by every word. I saw the time is going, I can stand and preach until 12 o'clock tonight. I just feel so full of the Holy Spirit in the Word. Because the time is at hand, friends. And while we sit in His presence like this tonight, you know, let the Holy Spirit just get into your heart. Take His Word. Get your attitude in a way and say, Lord, I appreciate your word. I thank you for your word. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I want to rise into this condition. I want to be what you want me to be. And if you could get your heart tend up and get into that place, surely the Holy Spirit could get right inside of there. And it's so easy, just by the finger of God, God casts with them devils. Things that seem to torment you and frustrate you and depress you and seem so hard for you. You can hardly get through it, and you know what to do, and you're full of fear and back up in a corner, and you know, make you look to reroot yourself and look for detours and everything else. God can come right down tonight and give you the strength like He did Jacob. You don't have to look for a reroot. You look to have a detour. You look to have a compromise. But if you get something, you could climb right over every obstacle. Wouldn't you like that tonight? Every moment we come in His presence. Every moment that we spend before His throne, there's so much God can do for us if we can recognize it. And not only that, friends, God is not an abstract something somewhere in the invisible realm. God is a person. And God motions, God feelings, God spirit, God heartbeat is expressed through His people as His word come to you. You may say, I emotional, I feel urgent. No, it's God. God feels it that way. And God wants you to get in the spirit of the word and feel it that way too. And see the difference, see the change, see the influence in your life afterwards. To think of what the power of the word can do. To think of the security that there is in a real, true relationship with the Lord Jesus. To think of the inner strength and the stability and the anchor in your soul. To have His Holy Spirit and His Word rooted down into your soul. Isn't that something far off, friends? Isn't that something far away that you can't attain to? While you hear the Word and you believe it and you open your heart and you think about it and the Word flashes certain things to you and shines in certain places and illuminates certain things and ties certain things together, you who hunger for the things of God, it does something for you. It's right there in that sphere. It's where the Spirit transforms and changes your lives and brings fillings and refillings. I was talking to a minister the other morning and he was telling me, you know, some of the ministers were talking about years ago, people used to, you know, the desperation for the Holy Ghost and the different things they have and things they used to do and now they don't see it no more. I said, well, what we need to do first is see if yes or no we know what the Holy Ghost was. I said, I remember a man of a black border, right? Every sin and say, I'll beat the Holy Ghost out of all you. Didn't know what the Holy Ghost was. You're not trying to go back there. But back there, you was in ignorance. Back there, we still had the old mantle. We was trying to patch to this new mantle. Back there, we didn't know we had to tear up that old mantle. You just open your heart to His Holy Spirit. He can move right in there and fill you out of your innermost being. And Jesus told him, when you drink of this water, out of your innermost being will spring up a well of everlasting life. What was he speaking about? The Holy Ghost. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. What was he speaking of? The Holy Ghost. Is that right? I'll send you a comforter. Even the Spirit of truth, the inside teacher, who will lead you and guide you to all truth. What are you speaking of? The Holy Ghost. One of the greatest things that should make you really seek it It's when you're in ignorance and you don't know what God is doing, you don't know what God will for your life, and you don't know how to go, and you have no discernment over your situation and what decisions to make and how to move and how to stand in the leadership of His presence. It's one of the things to let you know you need another sense beyond your five senses. You need that super sense. And that is what He wants to do. And every time you hear it, no man don't have to bring it to that place. You can say right there, as that word flash, you see a need. Because when you hear the real word, and you see where the real word has come from, and you see where you live in, you know you're not living where you ought to be living. Right away, because if you're living there, it'll be right in stream. It'll be right in channel. It'll be like one on one is two. It'll be like two hands coming together. And then right away, you know, Lord, I need to rise up a little more. I need to pray through a little more. I need to get a hold of you a little more. I need to contribute a little more. And right inside of dear friends, when God hears sincere prayer, Samson had an all-night prayer meeting. Samson just prayed right there sincerely in dead earnest. And he could break through to that place. It has taken some of us all night to get to that place. But some of us who know what it is, if we had it before, if we lose it, if we get to a place where we all backslid and everything else, we could get right back there in a few moments of sincere, earnest prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And you pray, friends, just for the few moments. As you have sat on this word, as you see the time that we're in, is the end. Seven church ages blackout. We're in a conjunction. Israel is getting ready, fixing to awaken. The fullness of the Gentiles is come. We don't want to debate on days or weeks or hours. The times of the Gentiles is ending. And that stone is here, giving us a kingdom that cannot be removed. And every kingdom of man that could be shaken has been shaken down. And this whole world is falling apart again. But we have a kingdom. His word becoming power and life within us. They're looking for great economists, great doctors, great military generals, newer weapons, new trade zones to hold this world stable, to bring it out of the chaos that it is in. But God's not a humble prophet. God sent a little bride, unrecognized, overlooked. True signs, overlooked. But here tonight, friends, aren't we seeing the unfolding of the prophecies of this age? Aren't we seeing the modern events becoming clear by the vindicated prophecy? Shouldn't we be thankful that God remembered us? We could shine His word deep down in our hearts like this. Just think about it. You just ask Him tonight to remember you. Let Him remember you tonight. Let Him pass by. Let Him lift the gloom, the depression. Let Him remove the fears. Let Him bring faith to see beyond the problems and see the solve of the problems. See the God who can take care of all your problems. He wants to do that to you. Yes, Father. Let flow through us tonight. All through this building, Lord, where hearts are praying, where hearts are yearning to be in true consecration, where minds are being illuminated because of the entrance of Thy Word, where souls are being saturated because of the filling of Your Holy Spirit, where doubts and fears are being cast down, strongholds, reason, imaginations are being pulled down because of the mind of Christ coming in. Oh God, I pray tonight, Lord, that where You'd find a hungry heart, the dove of Your Holy Spirit would just condescend, flutter down into that heart, Lord. Cool words of peace and comfort into that soul. Oh, Comforter. Oh, gracious Holy Spirit. We recognize Your presence. We thank You for the anointing of Your Spirit upon Your Word. It just seems, Lord, that there's something. We struck this channel of inspiration as we move, as we are moved into it by the Holy Spirit. May it cause us to go to praying like Daniel did. Every time he prayed for revelation, the vision came. The angel visitation came. The revelation unfolded. What was the end time? You told him was the end time. And he didn't have to butt about it. Oh God, we too, Lord, may we pray for revelation. Without revelation, we might as well be blind, as the song goes. Without stimulation, we could get left behind. But thank God for revelation. That brings stimulation. We're so glad, Lord. We won't get left behind. Let it be done more and more. And then, Lord, may we go out and give witness and testimony with a concerned heart, Lord. With humility and sweetness. Thunder now. Lift voices. In simplicity. In purity and humility. I pray, Lord, that even them that might be cold and lukewarm, You rekindle that flame in their heart tonight. You're not married backslidden. You're going to restore them, Lord. Lord, I see my brother here tonight. I'm so glad to see him, Lord. Remember, he took a place right here in Your house as a minstrel, playing with the gift that You put inside of him to bring the Spirit of God in the place. And then falling away, Lord. Like that prodigal son being driven out in self-will, Lord, going out to find joy and experience the pleasures of the world. Somewhere along the line, Father, as the story goes, the Holy Spirit began to work on an awakening, a self-realization began to come. It brought a turning around on the inside. Bring the head back home. Lord, I trust it's like that. I pray do something for my brother, Lord. Let these moments sit in Your presence mean something special. When Your tender love, You could break up a stony heart. I will restore, saith the Lord. You're the one, Lord, who can look beyond the fault and see the need. May there be a sincere heart in there. May there be a heart full of prayer. May there be a heart like it was where that boy said, I'll go back to my father's house. And I wouldn't even be called a son. If it's a servant. If I have to go back and work for my wages or whatever it is. Oh, God.
Let there not be any, Lord, tonight. They would be looking unto you, crying out, come by here, Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Come by here, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would so grant that grace. Won't you do that, Jesus? Feeling your presence tonight so close. And knowing that there are needy ones, dear Lord. Won't you let your sovereign grace just flow out? Cause hearts and souls to drive that stake down tonight. Come into a real decision, Lord. Maybe at a junction time. Lord, the beats are changing in their life, in their walk, Lord. The experiences are bringing them to a crucial hour where the press is coming down on them. They don't know what to do, they may not understand. It seems like they're drifting out into a place where they lose the understanding and can't seem to follow the continuity of the Spirit. Lord, we know there's nothing going wrong. The understanding is going to come. It's just the Holy Spirit preparing us for new things. May we learn to let go and let you have your way, Father. May we trust in you. Knowing, Lord, we trust and never doubt, you will surely bring us out. You guide us with your eye and we'll follow till we die. May our soul follow it hard after you, Lord. Lord, as we leave this place, go into our homes, may you grant transportation. Them that are needy of it tonight, take us safe to our homes. Keep us in prayer, keep us in study of your word, meditation of these things, and help us to be real students of the word. Not to take it lightly or just on this surface, but to take a closer look and to dig deeper, Lord. God surely is going to profit us much. Let us mix the word with faith. Let these people into your hands now. Asking your divine blessing and continuing leadership and guidance. For we pray and believe. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.